As our children are going out and those who are helping in the children's church, if you would take your Bibles and turn in the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you do not have a Bible, there are Bibles in the pew there, and you are welcome to use that. If you need a Bible, take one that's in the pew. We will replace those. It's more important that you have one and have access to one. In our series in the 1 Thessalonian letter, we're now at a section on chapter 3. Last time we talked about the Apostle Paul exemplifying or praising God for the faith that the Thessalonian believers, these young believers, had in his mercy. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to read a portion. We're going to begin a little bit where we were last week in verse 6 and continue on as the Apostle Paul rejoices at the report that Timothy has brought back. In verse 6, it says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply that which is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for another, a love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." One of the things that I notice about life is that we're a pretty peculiar folk. We are a strange lot. Just up the road, there's a small college, it only exists on about 40 acres, that has a athletic team in the sport of football. Some of you may be familiar with that. I pray that you are not as familiar as I unfortunately am. And when they succeed, we have great joy. And when they fail, we have great disconsolation. I would love to say that the college downtown is the only one in that, but alas, I am guilty, because even 90 miles from here, there's another school that the same thing takes place. And not only that, but there are schools all over the state of Texas that have this joy at others' success and absolute depression at their failure. In fact, we tend to hire and fire those who are responsible for that athletic activity. Even if you have won multiple national championships at that game, nonetheless, the phrase, "What have you done for me lately?" seems to apply. And again, I would love to cast a finger downtown, but alas, the finger points where I went to school also, is that doing success is not good enough. You must do beyond success, because that makes me to feel better. Fortunately, our text today tells us here is how we should really think. For the Apostle Paul looks at the Thessalonian believers and he says, this is what success is all about. As we read earlier, we saw that he was, verse 7, just to remind ourselves where we were last week, the Apostle Paul was in distress and affliction because he just didn't know. They were only a few miles down the road, a couple of hundred miles down the road, but in the Apostle Paul's day, they didn't have cell phones to be able to check in. They couldn't just go onto the internet to see what the score of the game was 32 seconds into the whatever period of time it was. The Apostle Paul had to wait and wait and wait, and he didn't know. As we reviewed last week, he went from Athens, where he was left alone. He voluntarily says, I am willing to sacrifice my social interaction with others in order to find out about you. He went to Corinth, and finally, Timothy arrived with the good news that the believers at Thessalonica have a faith that is strong. He brought to us the good news, the gospel, the good news that your faith and your love are strong. Well, today in our text, we are going to have to divide this into actually two sections. I had planned on trying to get this all accomplished in one day, but alas, I had several come to me and says, Max, 2:30 is too late to be here still listening. And so, in obedience to the Spirit of God, which I believe has come in and says, this text is for us. Now, we know about the Thessalonian believers, but brothers and sisters, this is about when the Apostle Paul talks about your faith, he is talking about our faith. He is talking about all that is done by us to glorify God. And so as we look at that, we're going to take the 4 points that this section has. And these 4 points, the first one in verse 9, talk about thanks for God's working thus far. And then in verse 10, he offers a prayer for God's continued working. And then in the verse 11, he makes a repetition about the prayer, how he desires its effect. And then the last two verses talk about the first one, the direction that his prayer and the direction that God seems to be working and what his final purpose is. So as we take a look at these first two sections, let's take a look at what the text says. The first thing that we notice is that the Apostle Paul is doing that same thing that he started the entire letter to the Thessalonians about. He started the Thessalonians, if you'll recall, in fact, if you want to flip over to chapter 1, in verse 2, it says, we always thank God for you, making mention of you in our prayers. And now if we look at the end of this kind of this section in chapter 3, verse 9 says, what thanks can we render to God for you? And in verse 10, praying night and day. And so he is kind of focusing on this whole theme that he has brought through the letter to the Thessalonians, that this is something that we rejoice in God about. We rejoice that God is working in you. Not just here, but one of the things that we're going to notice as we finish up the first letter in chapter 5 is that we're going to notice that he is going to teach us in everything, not just in your faith, not just what I, the Apostle Paul, see as the results of my ministry, but in everything, we're going to, again, do this theme, give thanks for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. And then when we move on to the second letter that he writes, which is not really that far away, he writes both of these letters while he's in Corinth on his second missionary journey before he heads back to Antioch and starts his third missionary journey. He's going to say that we continue, and this is chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, we give thanks for you. And so one of the things that we see the Apostle Paul teaching us is the thing that we mentioned when we were looking at it in the first chapter. is that we see that God is the one who is instrumental in doing all of this wonderful work for the Thessalonians. It is God who has given them faith. It is God who has given them works of love. It is God who has given them the hope for endurance. Now, one of the things that is going to be unique in our text before us today is that we're going to say that this thanksgiving that we give, thanksgiving for this theme, is going to be something a little bit different and a little bit more nuanced than he does. As we look back at chapter 1, we're going to see that we give thanks to God. In chapter 5, give thanks. In the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, to give thanks. Look at your text in chapter 3, and I want you to notice in verse 9 the verb that the Apostle Paul gives. For he says, with what can we, my New American Standard says, render to God thanks. The ESV says, what can we do to return thanks to God? Now, I know what I mean when I return something. I am given something, and it needs to be returned. Or I perhaps have purchased something, and I return it to the person that gave it to me, the store that I bought it. Isn't that what that word means? I want you to think about how that applies to what we're talking about in the Apostle Paul returning thanks to God. What in reality is happening, brothers and sisters, is that we're seeing that the Lord God, the Apostle Paul, is looking at God and he is giving to him something that he received. The Apostle Paul says, I received something and I am returning thanks. Have you ever heard the old phrase? I don't think it's used much anymore. When you're praying for a meal, let's return thanks. Have you heard that? No. It's not that uncommon still, although people don't talk that way anymore, is that we're looking at what God has done for us and we're returning our thanksgiving to him. One of the things that takes place, because this is a very odd word, quite frankly, if we were to look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, you'll pardon me if I turn over there and read just a section. There's a parable there, the parable of the invited guests. And what's taking place as we start in verse 7 of Luke chapter 14. Chapter 7, he says, the Lord Jesus began to speak a parable to the invited guests when he noticed that they were picking out for themselves the special places of honor, saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you who may have been invited by him. And he comes, and the one who invited you both has to come and say, you're going to have to get up and move. This is the place that we have reserved for this, and you go down to the last place. So that is our context. Jesus is telling this parable of what's taking place. In verse 12, if you'll skip down there, Jesus says, now, he also went on to say that to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't just invite your friends. Don't just invite your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and a repayment come to you. That's our word. A repayment comes. Now, what are we doing here? What's the Apostle Paul telling us? He says, for your faith, I am giving you thanks as a repayment for what you have done in the lives of these Thessalonian believers. This thanksgiving is not simply done from the Apostle Paul because of their faith. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness. That's what he actually said in verse 1. I give you thanks because of their work of love, their assurance of hope, and so on. And what's taking place is the Apostle Paul is coming and he is recognizing that God worked. In my life, I have a couple of situations that I was reminded of this. I was talking back long ago when I was a young lieutenant in the Army, and I was getting ready to go all the way overseas. And one of the things that I was talking to is one of my friends who was, quite frankly, he was not on the same page that I was about the sovereignty of God. He believed firmly that man's will was more sovereign than God's will and that God had to obey what man did. And we went back and forth. You can only imagine. Says, yep, I can see Max doing that very thing. And sure enough, the time came. I went overseas. I had shaken my head. I didn't shake the dust off of my shoes as we left. But I went overseas, and I was minding my own business, doing what God had called me to do over there in the military, and all of a sudden I got a correspondence. And that correspondence, back then we used to send cassette tapes. I know some of you don't understand what that is. Cassette tapes back and forth so that you could actually hear the voice. Sharon, do you remember what that was? As we would send, some of you got sermons that were on cassette tapes. We still have 266,000 of them back here in the audio room. We sent cassette tapes, and I was listening and listening, and all of a sudden, I heard my friend on there, and I heard rumble, 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 and then it got quiet. He said, I had to go upstairs to tell you this. One of the things that took place in my life is that God opened my eyes to see that God was God, that God was sovereign, that it is not I. Yes, I believed. Yes, I had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I understand that was God working in my life to be able to do that. Brothers and sisters, I can only describe to you the thoughts of my heart, and believe it or not, it was not, yes, he saw it my way. I was right and he was wrong. I rejoiced that God was working in his life, and God opened his eyes to see his great mercy. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're seeing here. Right now I have one of my sons who is all the way up in Minnesota. You know, some of you know about that. And I had another one of those experiences. He told me that they had found the perfect church. They loved the youth group, and that was exactly what they needed for their kids. And then a couple of weeks later, he says, well, we don't go to that church anymore. Because we loved the youth group. It was great for our kids, but the word of God was not proclaimed. And we have gone further, more out of our way. We had to get in the car and drive further to be able to get to a place where the word of God was proclaimed. And so as I was preparing for this message, I said, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is feeling. That's exactly what he is experiencing. He is rejoicing. He is returning thanks to God for what God has done in the lives of these Thessalonian believers. I can't even imagine the Apostle Paul says, yep, I'm glad. I was right. They were wrong. The Apostle Paul is rejoicing at what God has done. And that's what we see here in verse 9. We're saying, what can we do to give thanks for you in return for all the joy that you have given me, that God has given me? How can I give thanks, not for the things that he has done for me, but the things that he has done in your life? So one of the questions that I ask, and this will be an part of the main thing that I would like to do, because I would like to apply this to you, because the Apostle Paul was hindered by Satan to write these words so that your heart would be lifted up. The question is, are there those for whom you should be thankful for their faith so that you can look at someone else and you can realize what God has done in their lives that has enriched your understanding of what a great God we have. Maybe you had a role model in your faith. Maybe you didn't have any role in their faith at all, like the Apostle Paul did for the Thessalonians. Maybe it is just something that every single one of us should be doing. Now, brothers and sisters, I say that because very often one of the things that takes place is that we tend not to be thankful for our brothers and sisters. One of the things that we actually sang about, that we are the body of Christ. We are the ones whom God has given. Do we have those whom we're thankful? That we can say with the Apostle Paul, what on earth can we do to return thanks to God for the joy that you have given us? Perhaps it's someone you have not even met. Perhaps it's a radio preacher or someone who is, you know, there are all kinds of guys on the radio and on the internet that you can listen to that are a joy, and they bring joy into your life. Because look at what the Apostle Paul is talking about. The Apostle Paul is not talking about something that I've come into your life and has given you more conviction. Oh, Lord, here he goes again. I know I fall so short of the glory of God, which we do. That we are absolutely, I am worthless, I can't do anything. Brothers and sisters, that may be true, but what's the Apostle Paul emphasizing here? The Apostle Paul is emphasizing the joy that others bring to you. One of the things that we need to do is potentially take a look at just exactly how we are viewing the world. How many of you have joy in Jesus Christ? Well, yeah, I have joy in Jesus. Joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Yeah, I got that. How many of you are able to rejoice at what God had done for us? What Jesus Christ has done for us, has that gripped our souls? Brothers and sisters, I'm preaching to myself here. This is something that I know in my life I need more of. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Number one, love that we sang about. But what's number two? Joy and peace and patience and kindness. The number two thing. Hope, love, joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit is one of those things that we can have. Well, number two, let me ask another question. Are you one who looks for joy? Are you one who looks for joy in the faith of others? Are we doing that? One of the things that I have been trying to emphasize today is that we are one body. Kind of the song that we sang. We are the body of Christ. We are Dayspring Fellowship. Now, I don't want you to turn around and look at each other, but one of those things that we need to do is to be able to do exactly what the Apostle Paul has done. Can you look at this believer over here and say, you bring me joy by your living out your life? I can go in and, unfortunately, that's one of those things that we can all do. I can look at someone over there, no, and I can say, drives me crazy. And when I see him or her going that way, I'll just go the other way, and I can deal with that. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You've heard of those guys. It says, oh, Lord, to have fellowship with those in above is glory. But those who we have here on earth, that is something totally different to be able to do that. Brothers and sisters, God has given all of us to each other to be able to have love and joy for each other. not because I have exhorted you, not because of something I said to you, but you are able to look at me, you're able to look at him, you're able to look at her and say, what a blessed Redeemer he has. What a blessed Redeemer she has. Brothers and sisters, are we looking for that joy? Because our sin nature tends to not look for joy. What does our sin nature tend to look for? I'm so glad. In fact, it's raining outside. I hate the rain. I have to drive in the Austin traffic. And I can list all of those things that I'm miserable about. But brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul found in the Thessalonian believers that joy in the Holy Ghost. By the way, this is so easy it comes naturally, just like breathing, right? No. What does James have to tell us? When you encounter various trials and tribulations, what should you do? Consider it all joy. Why do we have to be told that? Isn't that what just comes naturally when I get into trials and tribulations? No. You know that. You know when I get into trials and tribulations, I tend to say, oh no, here it comes again. Lord, let this be past. I know it's got to come, so. And then finally it's over. And says, okay, whew, glad that's over. Let's get it. No. Consider it joy, that very thing, the joy of the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. And it's not one of those, okay, Lord, what have you done for me lately? Like we do for football teams. All right. I know you had a winning record, but it wasn't good enough. You're fired. Praise the Lord, that's not the way God does with us. That we are those who are filled with joy in the Holy Spirit because I saw you helping her the other day. I saw you putting your arm around him because he was down and you went over and comforted him. And that did my heart good. It did my heart wonderful and I was able to rejoice in your faith. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. And brothers and sisters, you can't do that sitting at home in the couch. You can't do that sitting in front of the TV. You can't do that listening. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely am a big, big fan of looking at the videos, listening to the sermons. I know many of you do that. When I'm driving down the road, I love listening to the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, there is nothing like someone putting their arm around you and saying, I understand. I know you're hurting. I know that the Lord God is going to see us through here. I know you can't see it, but I'm going to be encouraged because you know what happens? This is not just you dealing with this. This is the body of Christ saying, oh my goodness, look over there. Those two are together and there's tears coming down their eyes because they are sympathizing with one another. Are we doing that, brothers and sisters? I would just simply encourage us all. In fact, I am going to encourage myself and you in my stead also. Take the phone, take the directory, take Dayspring directory. Look at every single picture that's on there. Write down some things that give you joy for their faith. And if you can't do that, what should we do, brothers and sisters? Well, we should take them to the elders and ask them. No, we should not do that. If you cannot think of things for which that person's faith gives you joy, then the problem is not with that person. The problem is not with your brothers and sisters in Christ. The problem is you're not looking hard enough. You're not looking hard enough at your brothers and sisters. And we have to be exhorted to do that. Look down at, we're actually not going to get to this until next week, but look at verse 12. May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in what? Love for one another. It doesn't come naturally. We have to be commanded to do that. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus said? He says, I have a new commandment for you. Really? I thought we had just about all the commandments we could stand from the Torah. No, Jesus said, I have a new commandment for you, that you love one another. And brothers and sisters, that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. The Apostle Paul is talking about what is it that you can do for your fellow members of Dayspring Fellowship. And further, the fellow members that you know in other churches. You don't have to say, whew, I'm glad I don't have to worry about that church. No. Deal with those whom God has given you. But yet there's another question. Are you one who needs to have the joy in the Holy Spirit looking for the faithfulness of others? Actually, the last question that I have is the Holy Spirit working in your life in such a way? Is the Holy Spirit looking in your life in such a way that others can look at you and say, your faith does an absolute number on me. I look at how you dealt with him. I look at how you helped her. I looked at what you said to them. I looked at what you did when you thought no one was looking, and you ministered to me by doing that. Brothers and sisters, are we that? The Lord Jesus actually had to teach us that, did he not? The Lord Jesus had to teach that in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember that passage? He says, let your life shine among men in such a way. Finish this section. What does it say? That they could see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Is that the character of our lives? That men can look at the light in our lives and see our good works and glorify God that's in heaven? Not see our good works and say, oh my goodness. Yeah, that Max, he's such a special guy. I don't know how ever. He's just a saint. I'll be able, you know, what do you know? You go in before the throne of heaven and say, why should you? Well, I knew Max Smith. And he was such, no. Let me see if I can say this. No! That's not why we do things, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we have people who will come over here and just let us know that we had an influence and an impact in their lives that we didn't even know. One of the great blessings that I've had over the years teaching school, many, many years of teaching school, is that I have kids come in and say, I can't believe what an impact you had on my life. And I'm thinking, now who is this? And I'm trying to think, oh yes, I remember who this is. Well, you remember the day that you were standing right here and you said this to me. And I'm looking there, I says, I don't have a clue as to what you're talking about. But yet it profoundly changed the life of someone else. Brothers and sisters, please don't understand. I am not holding myself up as an example. Every single one of you. I can talk about the ones who did something just so insignificant as we had an accident here at church on Wednesday night. And we had some who just took the extra effort to follow them home to make sure they got home safely. I look at that and I says, I rejoice at your faith. Well, I didn't do anything. We were heading that way. No. You saw a need and you filled it. And that is one of the things that ministered to my heart. But I didn't mean anything by it. I didn't think anyone was looking. Brothers and sisters, that's when the time that your faith shines is when it just comes out living your normal everyday life. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, how can we render thanks? How can we return thanks to God for you, for the joy that you brought to me? I don't know how to do anything but just simply rejoice in God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? a wonderful thing to be able to do. And you thought that you were just beating yourself up and said, okay, here's another time. I'm exhausted, but I got to go to church. And little did you know that your being here and seeing a need and encouraging someone was one of those things that you could be able to do. Our text tells us that the Apostle Paul did not stop there. The Apostle Paul in verse 10, he says, not only did we see and rejoice at you, giving thanks for what God has done, but I'm going to participate in praying earnestly that I would see your face and that I would complete that which is lacking in your faith. Now, one of the things, and it's fairly difficult to be able to see, so I hope you're able to follow me, is that there are really three different ways that the Apostle Paul is praying now for the Thessalonian believers. In verse 10, it says, okay, I got the night and day, okay? I've got that he is praying constantly. Now, praying constantly, brothers and sisters, is going to be one of those things that in chapter 5, when we get there and in several weeks, we're going to say that the Apostle Paul exhorts the Thessalonians to be praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing? How can we do that? I've got to eat. How can I pray while I'm eating? How can I pray when I'm driving my car in Austin traffic? How can I pray when I'm at the grocery store, at work? That you have no idea what my work is. How can I pray when I'm at work? I can't just simply go off, brothers and sisters, what's he talking about here? How does he pray night and day? Constantly, unceasingly. Now, it's not in the middle, someone's dragging him around on his knees because he's praying and he's in this posture of prayer. When we're walking along, when I get a phone call and says, would you pray for me? I've got this struggle that I'm really going through. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I hang up. And you know what I do, brothers and sisters? Right then, right there. It doesn't have to be a long, great, elaborate prayer. I don't have to go through all of the 10 steps of here are the appropriate prayers. I said, Lord, be with this individual. They're really struggling. They're really having a problem. Help them. Be with them. Comfort them. What have I done? I have been praying night and day. And the more we do that, the more we're comfortable with that, the more we're going to be able to see that we're able to enter into this very thing of appreciation for others, having joy at their faith, as the Apostle Paul says. So I see that in the text. I see the second part that we're going to be praying most earnestly, all right? Most earnestly, that is actually a word that comes in and says, really over and over and over the top, increasing so that it's just overflowing. I see that the Apostle Paul can do that, but I only see those two things. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that's kind of hidden in there is this concept. The Greek word for praying here is not the normal word for praying. The normal word for praying and the formal prayers in which we come before God and what he's doing, I says, I thank God in my prayers. That would be the normal one. What he's talking about here is a word that is translated praying, but we could also translate that in an old English word, beseeching, begging, coming in and entreating, asking God to do that. That's the concept of praying that he's talking about doing night and day. It's that concept that we're interceding for someone else. We're taking ourselves out of my problems and interceding and begging for them. The Apostle Paul then says, and why am I doing this? What is the end that I'm praying? For sure, we talked about that Satan was hindering him. He really, really, really wanted to get back to the Thessalonian believers and finish the job, if you will. In fact, that's what he says. I want to get back and see you face to face. to complete that which is lacking in your faith. I said, well, wait a minute. I thought that your faith was why I was rejoicing. Didn't we just go through all of those texts? I rejoice because of your faith. I am extremely happy because of your faith. Over and over again, I'm comforted, verse 7, through your faith. And now you're telling me that my faith is not good enough? That you need to come and see me face to face in order that my faith could be completed? Brothers and sisters, what's the Apostle Paul talking about? Well, brothers and sisters, if you've been in the faith long enough, if you've been a believer long enough, you know that your faith is started, but it's nowhere close to where it needs to be. What's the Apostle Paul saying? I really, really, really need to be there. I need to be with you face to face. I don't need you to go to a website and go and look at a video and get the 5 points that the video said. I don't need you to simply open a book. I'm going to send you a book and close the book. What does the Apostle Paul say? The Apostle Paul says, I need to see you face to face. One of the great things that I wrestled with as an educator is that there are those three aspects. There is the teacher, the pupil, and then there's the curriculum. Well, you can't just take the curriculum and the pupil and forget the teacher. The teacher is what God has ordained in this world that helps us to understand. Can we gain knowledge from reading a book, looking at an online course? Absolutely, we can gain knowledge. But can we gain understanding? There's something that the Apostle Paul says, my eyes to yours, looking at your face, because I'll assure you, after many, many years of teaching, I can tell when a student gets it. Their eyes change. Their eyes are able to say, all of a sudden, it's a, okay, here it goes. I teach math, you know that. Math. And all of a sudden, you can see in their face. Their eyes change. And you are able to have a ministry to them that is different. That's what the Apostle Paul is recognizing here. I want to see you face to face. But what is it that he's seeing as faith? That our faith would be completed. Our faith would be enhanced. We would go not from this faith, but to this faith, to be able to grow and grow and grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing the Apostle Paul is praying for. Now, praise the Lord, as we read in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul was able to get back to the Thessalonian believers. He went from Corinth back and made it all the way back to the end of his second missionary journey. And then on his third missionary journey, he did make it back to Thessalonica. And he was able to do it. He didn't stay for very long. Why was that? Because the Lord was giving them strength in their faith. He was giving them those who could exhort them. They were able to see examples. They were able to become examples in their faith. The Apostle Paul says that's what this is all about. Why do we come and preach? Some of you have been here listening to people at this pulpit for 40 years. Why do you still do that? Haven't you got it by now? The answer is no. Because we haven't yet been able to plumb the depths of love divine. That's why we sing those songs. That's why we come here every single Sunday and look at the depths of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Praise the Lord. And so the question is, how can we be those whom the others can look at and rejoice in our faith because of what we do for them? Brothers and sisters, let's live this week with that as our goal. Not so I can earn the right to pat myself on the back and say, see him? He was rejoicing. No. Not because of rejoicing because of me, but rejoicing because your faith is made stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you do for us. And we ask that your blessing would be on us. Father, as we meditate on these words, as we look at the Apostle Paul and his reaction to the faith of the Thessalonians, we pray, dear God, that you would help us to make that as a valid, vibrant part of every one of our lives, so that others, whether they're in the church or not in the church, they would see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. We thank you that your mercy is great. We thank you that your grace is free. And we pray that you would be with us now through Jesus Christ, our only Savior. Amen. Would you please stand?